Thank you for tuning into another episode of Bro Rants Podcast. And we're thanking you for taking time out of your day, your busy schedule, away from your kids, your friends, your wife, your brother, your husband. Hey, it's all good. We appreciate you making time for us. This episode, we discuss the late, great Matthew Perry and his untimely passing at the age of 54, gone too soon. We talk about the impact he made in television and with his wonderful cadence that took America, actually the world, by storm. Could he be any more impactful? So join us and we talk about a little bit about Jada and Will and if Ray would ever find love again. Could he be any more lonely? I'm just kidding. This and much more. Without further ado, enjoy the show.
So, Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry. Oh, man. Dude, I've been, since last night, I've been just binging Friends.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah. I was like, let me go back and watch, because, man, that was a cultural thing back then. I mean,
it was a big show. I used to love it.
Loved the hell out of it.
I used to love the show. The chemistry was really good between them. They did a really good, I don't know how they go into,
Casting,
right. Picking people,
right?
You know, I guess the only thing I can relate to it is when I play basketball and I'm picking players. You know,
see who meshes
with what. You know,
right?
I guess it's kind of how casting is. You got to pick people who mesh and work well together.
New compliments, right. Whatever. Yep.
Right. Versus just picking people because they look good or they,
or even if they're good for the part, like you said, if they don't mesh, like if they don't match with this character, this other actor or whatever, then it don't work.
Right.
And to me, that seems like they found the perfect cast, yeah. Man. I'm watching this. So yeah, I was watching the, I was like, let me go back to season one. I'm on season two right now, episode four. Cause I didn't realize every episode was 24 episodes.
Every season.
Sorry. Yeah, it was 24 episodes. I'm like, holy crap. There's so much gems in there. So,
that's kind of how it was back in the day anyway. If you think about shows,
right.
Albums.
Right.
I mean, it was always
high. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, because everybody put in a lot of work.
It's only till the streaming things brought them down to like 12 and 8 episodes a season.
Watered them down.
Right. You're right. You're right about that. Uh-huh. So, think about how when they got it to like a million episode.
Were they the first ones to get a million per episode?
They were the first ones to be paid the highest ever on TV.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
You know what they're making, not to jump ahead, but you know what they're making right now on...
From residuals?
From it being in...
Is it 25 million?
20 million. They're making that from it being in syndication. Wow. You know how much it's making? Listen, but that's robbery. You know how much that show's making in syndication a year? Yes. Just guess.
A billion. Really?
And they're only making 20 million. So 20 million minus taxes, they're probably walking away with 11 million, 15, depending on where they live.
So each actor is making 20 million.
And they've made that for the past, how long Friends been off? 20 years? 20 years it's been off. So damn, they've made what, 200 million, 200 something million?
Well, that's because, you know, the deals. The deals they make. You know, back then they weren't aware because, like,
no, absolutely, no, yeah. They were aware. Here's the thing, like, so they had Monique. Remember Monique? They had the Browns or the Parkers. Monique, remember her show, the Parkers, the Browns?
Yeah,
I think it was like the Meet the Parkers or something or whatever. Their stuff is making $700 million a year, and they're getting no residuals. That's how messed up their contracts are. That it's not being honored. So, Friends, like I said, I was talking to Kate's dad about that. I was like, there will never be contracts like this ever.
Well.
Because streaming services.
Hold on. Ever since. Well, there was another show that was made a lot of money, though, too, though, since syndication. What is the one with the dude that supposed to be like smart? Not smart.
Urkel?
Not no. Urkel.
Doogie Howser?
Not Doogie. It was a white guy. It was a white guy. Gosh, what's his name? He has a show where it's like he's making like $25 million. I can't remember the name of it now.
Oh, you're talking about Big Bang Theory?
There we go. Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
So that was all in the I think that came right after Friends. That was kind of like when Friends was fading. Because I remember that's been out for out for a while. It stopped finally, right?
Right. They had a pretty good deal too.
Pretty good run, right? They hadn't been out for like 10 years, 15 years, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but they had. I remember their deal was pretty lucrative.
Pretty lucrative, yeah. So they and let's say face it, when you become like a number one show on network TV, and as soon as you hit syndication, man,
you can write your own boat.
Oh, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much, especially if you stick together as a cast, because remember Jersey Shore did the same thing on MTV. They followed Friends and remember Jersey Shore.
I didn't really watch.
They ended up holding out for season two.
Okay.
And they were like, yo, look how much we're making, but all this was off to piggybacking off of what Friends did as far as them sticking together to get all their contracts the same. Because never before were a cast treated equally. Normally it's like, hey, these are the principal actors, whatever. Like, nah, they all got the same contract in Friends.
Yeah.
So they were treated equal. Like, no, we're all leads. So think about that. It's never been a show like that. Normally it's like, okay, even with Family Matters and Urkels and even Full House, you know, you had the certain leads. Like, okay, who's really the show? Like, Urkel was the show for Family Matters.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So it was like he got paid the most. But Friends was like, nah, we all on the same level. And it's true. If you look at it, you're like, damn. Like I said, it's so well written. Like, if you go back and watch and binge the hell out of it, mm-hmm. It's on HBO Max. And I was just like watching. I was just like the brilliance of it. They were saying how brilliant Matthew Perry was as far as some of the writers would just go and be like, hey, man, how do we make this funny? And they were like, this line's not funny, but just his delivery would make it funny.
That's what the talented ones can do.
Yes.
They can just do it on the limb, just like boom. Just like that. They can see it.
Absolutely. Before it even happens. I mean, I remember everybody being like that. Could you be anywhere? You know what I mean? I just remember everybody talking like that. You know what I mean?
His style was
unique.
Very, yeah. It was good.
Yeah, he would always emphasize something like that. And then he used a lot of his body work. And like I said, Ross and him did that. The women were amazing. I mean, Courtney Cox, but Rachel, she was just phenomenal. Phoebe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone just was like, yo, you'd have to watch them and look at them.
It was like Voltron.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, it had to have the everybody.
Abso-freaking-lutely. So, yeah. It's crazy. I did not know. I knew he battled with addiction and stuff like that. I didn't know it was that bad. I knew he had like 60. I think he put into terms, 60,000 AA meetings. Going to 60, like as far as 60,000 AA meetings over 30 plus years.
Yeah, like it was something crazy.
Yeah, 15, 14 rehab.
Yeah, it was. It was insane. Like, I think, I want to say I heard a number where he spent like, was it like
7 million?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I heard, 7 million on rehab, bro.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Million on rehab. Right. I'm not laughing.
Oh no, I know. No,
I'm not laughing because, you know, I'm just like 7 million to get better, to save your life. I mean, like, whoa, when you think about life and think about helping yourself, what is the number? I mean, there is no number, but just for a person like on my level, $7 million is like fun. Like, whoa, like I couldn't even imagine spending $7 million for help on myself.
Right.
You know, I just can't see it. Like, it's whoa.
Yeah. And that's just the course of his 30 years of trying to fight the addiction. In the span of it, it's probably nothing considering that he probably made 300 million, 200 something million. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Drop so in the bucket. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, but damn, when I heard he was taking 60 Vicodins or whatever a day, 60 pills a day, like how you living?
Or the fact that his colon burst.
Yes.
What the heck?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
And he died. He said he died like 5 minutes and yeah. And they had to put him on whatever the special machine was. Yes. But that's crazy.
I don't even know what that machine called. Edium?
Yeah.
Edium?
Yeah. And he said 5 people went on it that night and he was the only one that lived.
I know.
I was like, I couldn't believe, like, it's so sad because his memoir came out last year. I don't know why I didn't hear about his memoir, but it came out last year and And the eerie part about it too, he had it on his Instagram. He took a picture of a hot tub like 6 days before he passed, in the hot tub at night, saying hot and swirly, feeling great, and, you know, something to those lines. And in the hot tub, he took a picture of himself in the hot tub. Well, someone took a picture of it, and he's like, "I'm Mattman," you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he had his headphones on, and it was overlooking the I don't know which part of Hollywood or Beverly Hills or wherever he lives, you know,
right,
I know,
right, right.
But in the background, you know, so it's crazy. And then I'm watching, it's so crazy because you're watching, he's saying that this character was more so up like him. So I was watching like season 2, episode 3, and it's this episode where this guy called a heckler, this neighbor that used to complain, like, "You guys are making so much noise." This old guy with long hair. So he was all in season 1. In season 2, he's like, "You guys keep making noise." So he always hit the broom. And they got into some thing match with him when he was hitting the broom on the ceiling, and they were stomping. And also they were like, "We won." And it clips over to, oh, they carrying out the body in a corner. You know, the coroner's coming in like, "Oh, my God." They're like, "You guys know what happened?" They were like, "No, we don't know." So they're like, they said he had his broom in his hand. So they're like, so they're all standing there in the hallway as the body's being ushered out, right? So what happens is they call him Mr. Heckles, whatever. I don't know, Heckle or whatever. So he ends up leaving. He had no family, whatever, right? So he ended up leaving all his belongings, whatever, all his possessions to the loud woman and her loud roommate upstairs, which happens to be Monica and Rachel that live together.
Yeah.
So, they're like, "Oh my God, I can't believe he left us all this. What did he leave us?" So he left a bunch of junk. So it's just a bunch of papers and everything like that. So Chandler goes and he's like looking through this yearbook. He's like, "Oh my God, this guy looked normal. Look at him." And they were like, "Oh my God, he was really good looking," Phoebe says. So they're looking through the yearbook and they're like, "Oh, class clown. Voted to be very whatever, funny," and he was like looking at all these things. "Oh, he played band and he played the clarinet like me." So Chandler starts putting in his mind, like, "Oh my God, I'm going to be this guy." You know what I mean? Like, "I'm going to be him. I'm going to be lonely." So it's so crazy because it's like a foreshadowing. But he's like this. He's like, so he comes up and he's like, and he's depressed. He's like, "I'm going to be this guy, Heckle, that lives by himself and dies alone." So he comes and be like, "I'm going to die alone, guys. I'm going to die alone." They're like, "Chandler, you're not going to die alone." He says, "No, man, I already know I'm going to die alone." So I was just thinking, damn, it's so crazy because he ended up dying alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By himself.
Right.
In the hot tub. Hours, couple hours, however long he was in this hot tub by himself. So it's just crazy because, you know, you look at things differently when you watch it. And then also an episode in season 1, I mean, I always look at signs or whatever. So season 1, you know, Suzanne Somers had passed away the same week. So they're watching something where the monkey switches he has the remote, but the monkey switched it to the TV to speak in Espanol when you could go SAP. So the monkey, which was, what's his name? Cecil? No, Marshall. No, what was his name? I forgot the monkey's name. Marcel. I think I forgot what the name was, right? So Chandler has a remote, and it's Suzanne Somers. They're watching Three's Company.
Okay.
And he sees Suzanne Somers on there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like, damn. This is what a coincidence. He has that. They both pass away in the same week.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just crazy. I just look at things like that and signs or whatever. But, you know, just hearing the fact that he's like, hey, man, he can't watch back because it's too painful.
Right, right.
That's scary.
That is scary.
You know, that he couldn't watch back because he knows what he was going through then.
Yeah, he was saying that he knew, like, by his face, yeah, of how he was or what he was taking or what he was doing.
Yes.
And it was crazy how he just knew. He could say, he could tell by the way his face looked.
Yeah.
Of how bad it was or what it was going through.
He's like, if I was big and overweight, it was alcohol. If I was skinny and underweight, you know, 120 pounds or whatever, it was pills. And that was his way of defining where he was at in his addiction.
In his life, yeah.
And the crazy part is the addiction started, the pill started with him getting an accident on Fool's Rush-In with Salma Hayek. He ended up going on a jet ski during a lunch break, mm-hmm, and getting hurt. And then they prescribed him Vicodin.
Oh.
And then he was like, oh, this feels great. And then when he went back to his house or whatever, he had a subscription mailed to him. They had it mailed to him. He was like 15 pills or whatever. And then he's like, oh, this is great. He just started. That's his journey on that. But what he mentioned, this is how he had this addictive gene. He said when he was a baby, he would cry so much, and his mom went to the doctor, and doctor was like, prescribed some type of
medication
for him as a baby, like being 30 days old or whatever, and that was what got in his system. And then he said he's just never felt like normal. And he was like, hey, when he was like 12 years old, 12 or 14, and he was like, oh, they you know, they had some whatever kids were together. He had a, you know, sneaking drinks. And he got a thing of wine, a bottle of wine.
So he
ended up drinking the whole thing. And he was like, here's what he says. He lies in the grass, looks up in the sky, and says, oh, my God, this must be what it feels like to be normal. So you know what I mean? So this is like someone that's probably always thought they were not normal, something was wrong with them, something was off. And typically it's the person that's the funniest that always has the demons and the skeleton side. Yeah,
that's why comedians are so good, because they're able to express things in ways they know of that you don't know. You have nothing to know,
right?
You don't know about yourself.
Absolutely.
They're living it out, and they're right. Speaking about it, and you think it's funny because it's things you want to talk about, but they're able to talk about it in a way that you can interpret.
Right.
And it's funny.
So, yeah, man. Crazy.
It is crazy. Mm.
I knew something was wrong. Like, when I saw them, I was like, gosh, damn. When I saw them when they did the reunion, I think it was a year ago.
I didn't watch the reunion.
So I didn't watch it. I was going to watch it. And then when I saw them, I was like, oh, because, it kind of like, Father Time, you're like, no, why they look, who looks like this? And you're like, oh, especially.
They don't look as good as they did.
Exactly. I mean, the women look great. I mean, right. The women always look, but you look at the guys, you're like, no, you see Joey's
yes.
A little bigger.
Uh-huh.
Ross, Ross didn't look bad, but you're like, oh, Chandler just looked like it was just weird seeing him.
Yeah. I mean, his pitch, like, he doesn't look the same.
No.
I mean, throughout the years.
No. And to me, he's always had that. You remember, I don't know if you remember that movie with the guy that played Elvis, that actor when he was in the TV's movies in the 80s or whatever, with the guy that played Elvis. And it was like when the guy, Priscilla, was an Elvis movie. And it's this one actor that looks like Elvis, but he always looked to me, had like that Elvis type of look. Matthew Perry. He kind of has those type of features.
Right.
If you look at him, you know, he's a good looking guy.
Right.
So it's like, oh man, when you see someone like that, you're like, no, why did you age like this?
How do you fall off like that? Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, and then you don't realize like, no, dude, you know, it's way more than that.
Drugs will do that to you, man.
Oh yeah. I know. Yeah, especially alcohol.
Yes.
Alcohol.
It'll take away 10 years. Every step, every drink.
Shoot. And he was playing pickleball for 2 hours on his last day.
Oh yes, he sure was. Well, I think it was the coroners who did the interview who said, like, even though he maybe got off the drugs or whatnot, but through all those years of all the drugs and everything he's done, the body still takes its toll.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure.
So the body taking all the drugs is so much. Didn't he have like 9 surgeries on his stomach?
He had a lot of surgeries on his stomach, yeah.
Could you imagine all these surgeries on his stomach?
Yes.
So, like, with all that said and done, I mean, you never really heal. Like, you never can really heal. I mean, it's just tremendous on the body like that.
And I think that's why he looked the way he looked. Because I believe no matter what diet, whatever he's on, like, you can tell, like, in his face, right, by his neck and everything, like, he has so much loose, you know, big thing right here. I don't know if that would ever, by his esophagus, you know what I'm saying? It just like this was always going to be big because he didn't look fat. I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's a lot of people that are a little out of weight that have their faces a little smaller. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To that degree. So I was like, yeah. I was like, maybe that's because of his stomach exploding and all that stuff that's happening. That, you know, it's a loss, but it's a great loss. But
I don't. You say it's a great loss?
What I mean by a great loss, one of the greats loss,
They were the greats of daytime TV and nighttime TV.
Yeah.
And just of the acting world.
Right.
He definitely was a top tier.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. Hey, you wanna learn comedy, watch that show. I mean, you wanna learn how to beat timing and have comedic timing and not try too hard. I mean, he didn't have to try.
I don't know if what he had is natural though. I mean, you can watch that,
right.
But I don't know if you would get that.
Well, I'll put it this way. You know how like they're like, oh, people, how they had college courses that would study Tupac's lyrics and his albums, whatever. like I said, if you watch that show, you can literally take courses on mastering their timing and how they all worked. You know what I mean? Like, that ensemble was amazing.
Yeah. Like, but it's like saying, like, hey, come to this class.
Right.
I'm going to teach you how to be Denzel.
Right.
But would that be, will he be Denzel?
Well, okay, I'll put it this way. So what I mean by study, they can dissect the show and be like, oh, this is what they did. It's almost like studying Shakespeare.
Okay.
Like, oh, okay, let's study Hamlet. Oh, what happened here in this? Like, oh, did you see what they did here in this time? And da-da-da, you saw what they choose. Because I watch it, and I'm like, okay, let me see if they ever get out of it. Like, when their bit is over and the other person's talking, let me see what Chandler's doing. Let me see what Rachel's doing. And I'm like, oh, man, they're so committed into this role that they don't drop off. They're like, hey, I know the camera's not on me, per se, mm-hmm. and this person's talking, but I'm still going to live in this moment. Like, I'm really, like, this is not a show. This is in the moment, not dropping off.
They're in character no matter what.
The whole time. And not selling out. They're literally not selling out, staying completely in character in the moment, no matter what, till probably the person says cut. Scene, you know, and it's good because, you know, I mean, they're not looking for the audience. That's what it is. I'll give them that. They're not looking for the audience approval. They literally are there in the moment, and they're there for their fellow actors.
Gotcha.
Because they're not looking, oh, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen, I'm sure you have, when you see modern TV and these other shows, when these kids are just over the top, and you're like, this is corny because they have a laugh track. Mm-hmm. And they let, you know, you can just tell they're playing to the camera. And it's just like they're playing to the camera and the audience that's there watching. So it's like.
So, moving right along. So.
No, but rest in peace. Yeah. Matthew Perry, rest in peace for sure. And Suzanne Summer, gosh damn it.
Yeah.
Suzanne. Who knew she was battling breast cancer for that long, man?
Yeah. I mean, like. It's almost kind of like, I'm not going to say it, Black Panther, but I mean.
Right, right.
But I mean, we don't always know what, you know, people putting out, what people are battling all the time. We don't always know that. So, but it's just sad how, like, when they finally succumb to what they succumb to, it feels like, wow, why do we know this? But they didn't want us to feel sympathy or pity for them. They just wanted to go ahead and live their life out to the best they can and try to battle this and try to overcome it without somebody wondering.
Right.
Wow, are you okay? What's going on in your life? Like, why, you know, you got all this money. Why you can't just beat this, you know?
Right.
It's just sad how that happens for us. You know,
right.
Race like that. Am I going out and in right now?
I think it's the same thing, like, as far as, for instance, you have an injury. Let's say you have your ankle. You don't want someone to ask you every freaking day, hey, how's your ankle?
Right.
How's this? Because then they look at you different. Like, you know what I mean? They're concerned, they're nice and it's polite, but it kind of makes you think of, gosh, they're going to ask me about this. Like, this is going to make me think about this injury. This is going to make me. So maybe they're like, no, I don't want to think about the sickness. Trust me. Hey, I've got the money. I got all the whatever specialists on speed dial. And I know what my chances are. So I'm already doing whatever you think I should be doing with all this money. I'm doing. So it's like, let's not even talk about it. Let's just talk about, hey, I'm here. Let's just enjoy this because I don't want to focus on what's inevitable or what's happening in the background. I don't even focus. So maybe that's why they don't like to talk about it or mention it.
I mean, you can always just keep it secret like Jada did, you know, Jada Pinkett.
Bruh. Jada Pinkett. Yeah, there's a great segue into that topic. Whoa, Jada. Britney's memoir out doing Jada's memoir. It's crazy. Justin Timberlake over here. Oh, gosh, man. Oh.
Did you hear the last thing that Jada Pinkett Smith said?
What?
Well, she told Tupac.
Oh, God.
Hey, she told Tupac that the Bro-Rance podcast is the hottest thing out there.
She probably did because he's in Cuba right now. Bro, when I was like, wait, I was listening to this thing when this woman was like, she was slinging drugs. I was like, you a low down dirty liar. There's no way. You low down dirty shame. I was like, come on, man. It's just, her story is just too, I don't know, man. It's just too unbelievable to be real. It's like she's grabbing everything that she's heard people say. And not only that, she's like stealing Pac's storyline. But Pac didn't even do any of that. Like I said, Pac said he knew people that were doing all this stuff, and he put it into his lyrics.
Right. He lived in bad neighborhoods. Right. But it wasn't really him. Like, he wasn't.
When he's going and learning ballet and shit, and going to this the same high school she went to for artistry, yeah, you know, like for language arts and
performance arts.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah. Jada's like, nah, we was hard.
Nah.
You guys were hard, but somehow you guys kept making it down to make these videos with dancing to parents just don't understand. I don't know, man. And Jada, I don't know what Jada's purpose in life is, but I think her purpose in life, her new thing, is to destroy Will Smith's career.
What do you mean? I think she's already done that.
She doesn't want to stop. She's like, how much further? Because for her to be like, oh, we haven't been together since 2016?
2016.
So what the hell is this man standing up and fighting for your honor?
I know that's the weirdest thing because, okay, keep my wife's
name out your effing mouth.
Yeah, so if she's not your wife,
right?
Why are you slapping Chris Rock?
Exactly. And she's over here, and then she acts like, oh, I don't know what happened. She's like, oh, I'm worried about him. What are you talking about? That's the most craziest thing I ever heard. That's when people twisted him, she made it seem like Will Smith was crazy. No, Will Smith laughed at that joke. Then the camera saw you roll your eyes. I wish they show that footage, because what happens, they cut to another camera, but that camera's always rolling.
Yeah.
So I wish they release what happened between in those 2.3 seconds that we don't see what happened to see why this man, before this man got up and walked. Because he had to turn and see her expression and say, fudge.
Something. I
it just made no sense that he snapped like that.
Because it was funny. It was funny, and he did... He did have a reaction to it.
Right.
It was comic. And he knows Chris Rock.
Well, it was funny, but it was... Here's the thing. It was corny.
Yeah.
It wasn't even on that level like, oh my God, this is disrespectful. It was almost like, God, this is like an old vintage thing that you've used before. Anybody... You know, it's just like, oh, really? To the point where everybody be like, what's G.I. Jane? Because it's that old. You know what I mean? Like, these kids can't reference it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you only know if you know if you're in that generation that knew G.I. Jane when Demi Moore played it.
Exactly.
Other than that, you're like, G.I. Jane, okay, cool. What the hell is they talking about? You know what I mean?
But this is what he does at every show. If you were in the front row or somewhere near
him. Right, right.
He going to get you.
Well, everybody gets got at the Oscars. That's what they do, man.
Exactly.
When they had the guy, the British guy that would come and destroy them. I forgot his name. And that was for the Emmys, right? Was that for the Emmys?
Yeah.
And he would just destroy him, and he'd have his liquor with him and his glass, and he'd just destroy him. It's a roast.
Yes, it's a roast every time, because that's what people want to see.
Right. Everybody want to see, because it's what everyone's thinking, like, oh, God. And you know that. Hey, listen, if you're in the same field and you're getting your ass whooped every year by these certain actors, and you're like, oh, you guys are all talking ish about each other. It's just what it is, and directors and whatever. You're in the same thing, and it's just... Hey, what everyone's thinking. So it's like, oh, yeah, get him. So, you know, everyone's having fun with it. But like I said, that G.I. Joe Jane, that was taken to the limit. That's why you know it was something that was way under the surface. And when you find out that, you know, Will Smith, and I can see it, man. I can see, because this man was like the poster boy for just summer movies. He was like the blockbuster dude, king. And then he was like the guy that everyone wanted to be. Like, Will Smith was like, oh, my God. I mean, you know, they're so good. I'll tell you how good Will Smith was.
Okay.
He wasn't the next Denzel Washington. We're still waiting for the next Denzel Washington. Will Smith was Will Smith. This is Will Smith.
He was.
You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, man, you watch Denzel, like, oh, that's Denzel. Denzel being Denzel. You watch Leonardo DiCaprio. That's Leonardo DiCaprio being Leonardo DiCaprio. You watch Bruce Willis. That's Bruce Willis style. That's Bruce Willis. You watch Will Smith, like I said, especially for a black actor, that's Will Smith, man. He just made his same.
I used to love his movies.
Right. And it was him. I loved him. I love him coming in. And
great energy, great character.
And the range. So the fact he made 7 pounds, the fact he was able to make Independence, the fact that he would make Men in Black.
Muhammad Ali.
Hitch. Focus. So he's able to make these rom-coms too.
Yeah. I mean, it was so much he was doing. I mean, right. So much. And I Am Legend.
Right, yes.
So good.
And that was such a quiet movie.
Yeah.
And he was, yeah. Bad Boys, how could we forget that franchise?
Oh, yeah, yes.
I mean, there's just so
much. I mean, his movies is so much. I mean, even a flop like Wild Wild West.
Right.
But it's still.
I know.
I still liked it, though.
Over the Matrix. He was like, yo, you ever heard him explain that? What was it? What did they call it? The Walensky brother? What did they call it? What's their names?
What, Kinski?
Gosh, what yes. Yo, them. He was
I bet if they came to me too and explained it, I've been like, bro, wait, what?
Dude, you've seen that, right? He was just like, they were like, yo, so we're going to have all these cameras. These cameras go, thing like this. He was like, you jump in the air and they were going, slow you down. He's like, huh? He's like, what? Yo, when they gave him that pitch, he was like, what? Huh? So, you guys, so needless to say, I did the Wild Wild West. I'm like, but he said it all worked out, though. Neon, I was like, yeah, that made, yo, that thing revived and just made Keanu Reeves a legend.
Yes.
Because let's say, that, for instance, if Will Smith did that, he would probably be doing John Wick 2 right now.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Will Smith was one of those characters, I mean, just like Denzel was, where he can play a black character or a white character.
Exactly. That's why I love him. So he's very versatile. That's why. That's why when I saw him in, you remember Focus with Robbie Margaret?
Yeah.
Well, and it had the father be a white guy
because
they had him just play like he was mixed.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, he can do that. He can do.
Yeah.
And he's just so, you know, he's a very charming guy. He's good looking, and then not only that, he takes care of his physique. So he'll get, you know, decked up for a role. You know, and he'll just get in shape and trimmed up for a role. Mm-hmm. And Bad Boys, like I said, Bad Boys. He was, because even when he was charming as Mike Lowry. He was not like smooth. Like he was a believable smooth. He's not like this guy that you see in these other movies that
he was.
This
nice outfits, right. Always the nice cars.
But he got the best jokes. You know, him and Lawrence are going back and forth.
He's to kill Martin Lawrence though.
Yeah, he's like, yo, that's how you drive, and that's how you drive. Oh my, you know what I mean? So it was great to see him just like, yeah, he played it very, very, very well balanced. Like I said, smooth, but he also played like he's your homie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay,
so,
cool.
So well played, man. He was just somebody that you want to be like. You want to be like him. I mean, it went from, I mean, are we forgetting about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Oh, yeah, I know. And him just not even knowing, talking about him. And that's what I'll give him the Mamba mentality, man. Like, him and Kobe, when was the Fresh Prince? Is all around Kobe's time too?
I think that was, was it?
Gotta be, like, it was 92.
That was before.
It was like 92.
I think it was before Kobe because.
No, I think it's not the same timing.
I think it was before Kobe.
Before? So what he did was study sitcoms. Like he had gotten the show with Quincy Jones, whatever. And they, you know, they gave him whatever, and he just studied, watched. He locked himself in his apartment and watched sitcoms all day long to learn comedy, learn how the timing, how to stick, how to do this, how to play to the audience, how to play. And you can just tell that's his. He's, you know, he was supposed to be an engineer or something? This dude was going to Ivy League school. He was that smart. Yo, he's that smart. Will Smith is very smart, and everybody gets twisted because everybody considers and this is what I've learned. Those are like the smartest people. They're very, very smart when it comes to like as far as socially conscious, socially mature, socially intellectual. Like, look at David Chappelle. Yeah. He plays stupid, but then you're like, damn, what did he just say?
They're very good at analyzing.
Very good.
Analytical minds.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good, and they're very good at expressing it in a way that you can't do it, because we can do it with anger, and they'll just do it and be like, but damn, did you see those letters and alphabets that were in the car? Or all the, you know, and David Chappelle just break it down that way.
They do, man.
And you're like, oh, shit, he just said it so intelligently. Like, even the alphabets are sitting like, damn. You know what I mean? So
why didn't I say it that way? You know, that's
exactly.
Kinda, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, could his career recover? Abso-freaking-lutely. I wish, you know, and here's the thing. She went on a couple shows, Jada Pinkett, saying that they broke up. And and how, you know, they broke up and they're separated. Now she's like, oh, no, we're working to be back together. And she went back and corrected. No, we're working to be back together. And I wished, like, Will Smith just breaks. I wish they get a divorce, pay whatever you want to pay, you know, whatever.
When did you see the interview where she said, lady from, was it Good Morning America, asked her, like,
right, yeah, yeah,
why you guys living separately? And she's like, I just made a promise to him that I would never divorce him.
Right.
And she says,
life partners.
She says, but you're living separately, though.
Right. And exactly. She's like,
yeah, but I just made that promise.
Yep.
Wait a minute. You made a promise to not divorce, right, but I can go be with somebody else.
Exactly. And not only that, they had this weird thing where he would go on vacation and with his ex-wife. Like, they would go as a family, and Jada would not be there, or she would be there sometimes.
So that was, I remember when they were talking about,
like, right, the family dynamics.
Well, Will, they said Will was stepping out. Or they said Will was, they
yeah, yeah.
The lifestyle.
And it was open to it.
It was open relationship.
And they never talked about it.
Yes. So I was like, there's no way Will got an open relationship. Like, right. I was just like, that's not true.
Isn't it crazy that everybody was like, yo, this dude got Jada Pinkett.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? Same thing with Halle Berry. They got Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, all these beautiful women are crazy, apparently.
Wait, hold on.
Crazy. No, apparently nuts.
Now, we're not saying all beautiful women are crazy.
Well, the ones that we're calling out
are freaking
nuts. Oh, my gosh, dude. Because he was like, oh, you got Jada Pinkett. Everyone's thinking he's living this great life. You got Jada Pinkett, man. You got this.
Yeah, home hurting like a
bird. Yes. Because she's weird. It's like, she's weird.
She's a hot mess.
She's a hot mess and very weird. Like, I mean, I did not. Okay, so both her parents were addicts, right? And then she has daddy issues with, apparently, because her dad, told her at a young age, like, I don't know how old, maybe in her teens, that, hey, I can't be your father anymore. I'm not good for you. And she said she respected that. But, you know, both her parents were addicts. So I'm like, I'm looking at her mom. I'm like, damn, your mom was an addict? Your mom, you know, she made a great recovery because she's but I'm like.
I didn't know that about her mom when she was an addict.
Yeah, so she has in a memoir. Like, they both were addicts. Her dad abandoned her and told her, hey, I can't be your dad anymore because I'm not a good dad. You know, I'm not going to be great in your life. So, and then she said, well, that's why I had to turn to the streets. And that's when I turned to Tupac, you know, and get the love from the, I'm like, come on, man.
From the homies?
Yes. I'm like,
come on. That's why she was cast in Menace to Society.
Oh, no. It was Men's Society?
I think she was in Men's Society.
And set it off too?
Yeah, set it off.
Damn. Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. Where she was all.
Yeah, those were my favorite movies.
I know.
That was my favorite movie.
Those were great movies. And then she had, she said how what changed her when she had 2 9mm pointed at her head because she was set up, apparently.
Now, that could have been true. That could be true.
It could, but if you watch this interview and you see how I just said, I don't know, man. I just want to, I can't wait for this guy to watch there's this guy that profiles and shows body language and tells if you lie on YouTube. And I just want to see him analyze
it. But she's an actress, though, so you can't really, how can you judge someone? Like,
because it's different. So a lot of people think, oh, actors are going to want, it could be the case, maybe certain instance, but for them to put on a performance of a lifetime, it's kind of hard to, there's, an actor's kind of like a truth, kind of like, barometer, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell if an actor sucks at acting, like, oh, you don't, it's not believable, right? You can tell. So with her, when she's talking about certain things, I just look at the mannerisms, I look at the eyes, I'm like, is it believable? This is your own story. Like, you're talking about you. This should be the easiest thing to say, not like, so, you know, like, they were pulling guns up on me, and you know what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm saying, right? And looking for the approval of the person while she's saying this interview.
Okay.
This was on the Millionaire podcast thing I was watching, and I was like, what? I was like, the way she's just saying this matter-of-factly, like, it's almost nonchalant. I'm like, there should be more emphasis on, oh, man, so they had, like, a gun to me, and I was just, like, fear for my life. It should be more dramatic versus, yeah, they had a gun to me, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, in the hood, you know, they had 2 guns, and I was like, it's a setup, and I'm like, you know, right? You know what I mean? It was just weird. And I was like, I don't know if I believe this. I think this was in one of Pac's interviews, to be quite honest, you know?
The thing about it, though, is, like, When you watch any of her interviews,
right,
they're all a little weird. Like the way she answers. Like the way she answers questions.
Right.
It's not like this. Hey, so you and Will, y'all together? Well, we are together,
but we're like not together. I mean, we love each other.
So that's I would take that as what they would say in a lie detector test. I would take, okay, this is the what do you call it? I forgot the. It's almost like the baseline. Where okay, from here I know whether you're going to bullshit or lie or tell the truth or lie. So when she answers questions that she can't answer, I look at it like there's nonsense behind there. Like when she's like, we should, like, we're hardly together, but we're not together. That makes me believe that you're not together. Something's not, you know.
Yeah.
Versus you saying straight, we're together.
Yeah.
Or we're not.
I know a person, I'm not going to say any names, but yeah. This person, they're good at not, they're good at telling you what you need to hear. No, I'm sorry. They're good at telling you, they'll give you great answers.
Right.
But it's never the whole truth.
Right. So like a politician.
But it's like a politician. But it's just enough.
Right.
Where you could take it and you're like,
right.
Okay, I can believe that. But when you get the whole picture, you're like, this person is good.
Right.
it's good.
Good. It's not avoiding these questions.
Yes,
you know,
great for evasive answers.
Right.
Great.
And for me, I think it's like, I think with her, she don't want to admit it because it can be detrimental to her.
Yeah, yeah.
But here she's saying, oh, we weren't together. For her saying that we weren't together, that's something like you're kind of, that's what I said. You're looking out for yourself, your best self, your self-interest. I would never admit that. If you ride and die and like you said, bad marriage for life, like they said on her red top table when she, you know, wanted to have him on and talk about her entanglement, then it was like.
I still can't. That still was kind of creepy, though, yeah.
I haven't yet to watch that.
You haven't watched that?
Not that. It just looks so weird to me. I'm like, what's going on?
It looks like Will is about to break down and cry right there.
Because and I believe that he's in love with her, and I believe he loves Jada Pinkett to the death. He is in love with her, and I think
she
sees her power. So I don't know if she's in love with this man like she is, because here's the thing: from everyone keeps saying she keeps her ideal of a man has to be Tupac, because she keeps talking about it has to be this macho thug life type or whatever. Right, maybe that persona she likes, because Will Smith doesn't come off like that. He comes off like the Fresh Prince, and I think that's how she views him. She even wrote the Fresh Prince in her memoir, you know. And I think she just looks at Pac as this, like I said, this alpha, and doesn't see Will Smith as this type of, you know, guy. He just sees him like, okay, you're a comedian, you make me laugh, cute. You're cute, you know, you're cute, and I can see. That's what I get from it. I think she runs the show, because there's no way in hell. Who's doing a red top table with Entanglement? I'm coming on, and I'm Will Smith, and you're my wife. And look, you're second tier to my first tier, and I'm gonna come and get embarrassed on your YouTube, like your little YouTube channel.
So I believe there's a lot of truth to what you said, because based on him coming to the table, coming to the show, doing the red top table, but also just from the whole like the Chris Rock thing.
Right,
where he felt like he had to make a statement in front of everybody on the earth know that's my woman. When is she not your woman?
Right,
you know. So it's almost like he got voodoo on him or something.
I know. Spell. No, you listen. Hey, I believe in it. Look, he in entanglement. He in entanglement with a voodoo priest. I believe it.
It's almost like how. I mean, he coming off like crazy, like Kanye is.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. It's not characteristic of him to do what he did. It is not. This dude makes funny jokes, and the fact, you know, that he went up there and smacked, it was weird. It was like he was a character. It was like, wait, oh, this is a. That's why everybody thought it was a skit. They were like, he just walked up there and smacked a man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came up there with his little, you know, he even had his swag when he walked up there and did it, bap, and then turned back around like a skit.
Yeah, and for Jada say, I didn't think he really hit him,
right? And then she says, "Oh, how Chris Rock in her memoir? I think they said Chris Rock tried to get her number years ago or whatever. So and they've had beef for years between him and Will Smith. So it's like, huh, what? I don't understand it. I don't get it.
It's crazy.
I know the reason you also wanted to talk about this, because you were saying like in relationships, you were saying like as far as what there's no, even with money, there's no happiness or whatever. You wanted to bring this up more so?
Yeah, so it just because you got money
It doesn't guarantee happiness. Like, I mean, we all know Will Smith, Jada Pinkett,
right?
Very successful, very as far as on the outside looks, they look, they're good looking people,
right?
But their relationship is jacked up.
No, absolutely.
I mean, it's like the worst you could ever have. Versus someone who's, let's just say, they work at McDonald's,
right?
Who makes minimum wage,
right?
They don't have anything. They're not maybe even good looking people. They might even be overweight.
Right.
But they could be happy. They could be in love. They can have trust. They can have peace.
Yeah.
You know, they can be strong in their relationship. So it's so crazy how we have to, we want to see people who are on TV be successful.
Right.
We want that. We're used to that. We're used to people winning.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
No. And that goes back to, like we were talking about with the friends and everything, we get wrapped up in these people as their characters. We don't really know them as their true character. So we get wrapped up in seeing Will Smith and Jada Pinkett being these great actresses, like the characters, Low Down Dirty Shame, Menace to Society, Set It Off, Will Smith, Fresh Prince, Independence, and we think we have an idea of who this person is over the slim little interviews and stuff that we see and the sense of humors. And whatever, and think, oh man, you know, these are great people off for everything, you know, off the little smidgen of them that I've seen,
mm-hmm.
right? So, not realizing that, nah, man, not everybody's a good person, and not what we've been given is the true person. So there's that as well, you know, is the persona and what we've shown is. It's not real. That's why you should never idolize anyone, but people you know, people in your life, people in your family that you can actually say, "Hey, I know you're a good person because I've seen the fruit you bear."
Exactly. So that goes back to there was a this is kind of like off kind of on this but off this.
Right.
Yeah. So there was a kid. It was a younger guy I knew. Right.
Right.
And he wanted to marry this girl. Right. And he really didn't know her that well. Mm. Right. But he wanted to marry her because he loved the fact of how she was and how she was raised. He just knew her through church, right?
Right.
And what I'm trying to say, I'm not saying because they go to church they make them better couples and nothing. But he wanted to court her, right? And that's what he said. I want to court her.
Gotcha. Right?
So what he did was he went to her father first and got permission.
Right. Okay.
For her, right?
Cool.
So they would go on dates, right? But he didn't. But he said, "I'm not going to kiss her," because he says, "If we don't make it, I don't want to kiss another man's wife."
Okay.
And let's look
extreme.
Extreme, right?
Yeah, it's a little extreme. he had me till he turned into Urkel. I was all with him till he turned into Urkel. But go ahead.
But that was his thought. Like, I don't want to kiss another man's wife. That's how seriously he took it. And so. They made sure sometimes, like, when they had dates or whatnot,
right.
they didn't stay at each other's houses or nothing.
Right.
It was always somewhere, so they didn't have an opportunity to go past what they didn't want to go past.
Okay.
So they ended up getting married, and it's been a beautiful marriage ever since.
Oh, wow. Well, that's awesome.
I mean this is a happy ending.
No, that is a happy ending. I was just saying, but dude. Hey, that's good, man.
They doing well.
He could have lost it with that no kissing thing, because it's like, yo, but you know,
they both were on the same page about that.
Okay, well, that's good. So she didn't want to kiss another woman's husband.
Well, I didn't get to ask her those questions. I know I asked him.
Yeah, he was like, I want to kiss another. I was like, this is extreme. But I was like, then bro, I'd be like, then you don't want to take another man's wife out either, do you? Because like, you want to hold another man's hand. That's when you take it to the extreme. Like, come on, dude. Like, you taking it too far. You're doing the most. You're doing the extra. Hey, but
he definitely was going crazy.
Talking about, oh, I talked to the dad trying to get extra points. You tell your dad I said I ain't going to kiss another. Dad must be like, what the hell? Yeah, this boy weird.
I definitely was like. You said what?
Yeah, exactly. Weird. You doing the most, bro. I'd be like, you doing the most.
I mean, I was going way past that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm sorry, dude. If there's if you guys aren't kissing, there's no. You know, how do you know there's no chemistry?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now that has me thinking. Like, when did he actually kiss her? No, don't say when they said I do.
That's correct.
This is crazy. I mean, it is honorable. But damn, yes, this is crazy.
Yes, they kissed. That is for crazy. The first time when they got married.
That is crazy. I don't know if it's romantic or if it's just crazy. It's so bizarre.
So, okay. So, let me ask you this. So, you said that's bizarre. Why is it bizarre?
Why is it? Because here's the thing. So, you know how people say they date? Okay, so he's being, if he's being whatever, a Christian or whatever, a devout Christian, okay. I know they don't date, they marry. So, when he was courting her, at some point courting her, and he figured out this is the one and they got engaged, bro, you should be kissing.
Why?
Why?
Why you said it so adamantly? Like, they should be kissing.
Because they got engaged. He put a ring on it.
But they're not married.
He put a ring on it. They're engaged. They're kind of committed to each other.
No.
They're committed to each other. So, to me, it's weird. I mean, okay, so you don't want to, you want to date, but you don't want to kiss. Cool, you're courting. Now you said, hey, I asked for the father's hand in marriage, which I'm sure he did because he already said, can I date her? So now you went back to the parents and said, hey, can I marry your daughter? Have your blessing, right?
Okay, so you said that's weird, right? That's your perception.
Bizarre.
Is a mustard sandwich weird or is that a good sandwich?
A mustard sandwich with cheese?
No, just mustard.
With ham?
No. Just mustard.
With turkey?
Just mustard.
Weird.
It's weird, right? Because that's your perception. I don't eat those, but I know someone who does and they love them. But does that make that person
weird? How many years they serving? Bro, still talking about a priest.
I'm just saying, being weird is a perception. It's not really weird. I mean, just because you do something weird, do you think I guess like people like, I mean, just say, I think like what was the founder name of Apple? What was his name again?
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Wasn't he weird?
When?
Back in the day. Like they say he's do weird stuff like not take showers and the way he went about things, he was kind of weird.
Well,
it's just different. Weird is perception.
It is perception. I get that.
It's perception. So just because they do something that you don't normally do,
the world doesn't do. Look, can they be any weirder? Matthew Perry.
But their weirdness has made them happy.
I don't know. Bro, if we say, hey, we're engaged, there's got to be a kiss. What do? They hug like siblings? We're engaged. Let's hug until we get to that other stuff.
Just because that works for you, don't knock it, though. I mean, it made that moment even more special.
I'm not knocking it, and neither did he. Apparently, to wedding night. So, which is great. But damn, brother could have got a lips in there, lip service.
Listen, maybe we'll have him on a show one day. We can talk about it.
Yeah, we can have him. Roast his ass. Bring him. I will roast that man. Like, woo. Jiminy Cricket, yo. We'll have barbecue. Look like Shaq will say, barbecue. We'll have barbecue.
He's a father now. He's happily married. I mean, like,
they still kiss?
I'm sure they do.
How long did he court her for before they tied the knot?
I don't know those details, but I'm gonna find out.
It was probably within a month. We gotta get married. He's like, these blue things is not. Yeah, this dude. We gotta get married. That dude was about to explode. No, talk about self combustion. He was about to explode.
Oh my God.
We need to get married. We need to get married now. I'm gonna get married now. He was like, he went out for 2 weeks, got engaged by the first month, and married her by month two. And was like, oh, I did it. Yo, if you get the dates down, I bet you this doesn't turn into this extraordinary thing anymore. It won't even be unique. You'd be like, oh, shit, it was a couple weeks? It was love at first sight. You'd be like, it's love at first sight. This man married her real quick. Why? It's called self-preservation. He didn't want to die. Could you imagine this dude? Look, I would love to be like, hey, how did you make it?
Rob, I mean, I think his name is, my friend name is Daniel anyway, but.
It's Rob. We got it. we already got it. You slipped up there, buddy. Sorry.
I think it's Robert Daniel. But anyway, I think what he did, I don't think it was 2 weeks. I think it was more like
2 months.
I think it might have been 2 months.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, something like
I
that.
I told you that. It might have been. Why would I say it's 2 months? Because I know.
It might have been 2 months.
I know it is.
But I'm not for sure.
Listen.
These questions I'm going to ask.
You remember what happened to Matthew Perry's stomach?
Yeah.
That would have happened to the man's balls. Okay? It had to be 2 months. There's no freaking way it was 2 years. There's no way this man courting this woman for 2 years and he walking straight. He ain't playing ball. He ain't doing nothing. He can't. He can't even move. He's like, this got to happen now. You know what I'm saying? This has to happen now. This dude's about to die.
Oh, man.
Shoot. Okay. There's no way in hell. He can't even drive. Bro, he can't even drive. I'm trying to tell you. So, yeah, I mean, I respect you, but, yeah, I think it might be 2 months. I'd love for you to find that answer out because I think it's 2 months.
I'm going
to
find that out, man.
And once you do, then I'm no longer impressed. If it's 2 months, I'm no longer impressed. Because I'm like, okay, good. Now I know you're human. I know you're a man.
So if it was 3 months, you would be impressed.
Nope. If it's anything to do with months, I'm not impressed because I know he's a man.
So 6 months is
nope. If it's years, then we're good. If it's years, then we're good. If it's not years,
I don't think it was years.
That's what I'm saying. So Rob, I'm not impressed. Rob Daniel, the second.
I think you might be the second.
I'm not impressed if it was months. I'm not, sir. If you'd gotten years, listen, I would have followed you to the ends of the earth, my guy. You would have been the second coming. You would have been a prophet.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't years, but I could be wrong.
Oh, we'll find out. But, I mean, would you ever do that? Court somebody and not get intimate until marriage? I mean, if you ever married again. Would you ever marry again?
I would, but I don't have to.
This man just turned into Jada. That answer got real slow. That man said, I would, but I wouldn't have to. You just answered your own question. You just gave me two answers, bro. I would, but okay. I wouldn't have to. Well, yeah, I would play basketball tomorrow, but I don't have to. What does that mean?
It means this.
Would you do it for the right person? Or I'm trying to say, would you ever marry again? Knowing what you know. Damn.
Yeah.
I exhaled.
I'm just going to say it like this. If it was the right person, I wouldn't even think about it. It wouldn't even be a thought.
Right.
But at the moment, because there's no one in that forefront right now, because I'm not focused on that right now.
Right.
I'm not thinking about that. So the answer is.
Yeah. Give me the answer, brother. Yo, give me the answer, Jada. It's been like, God damn. Yo, you politician?
For the right person, yes.
Okay, so you would get married again?
Yes, for the
right person. Okay, what's the right person?
I don't know.
Oh, what's the right person on your spectrum? What does the right person have to have in order for you to be like, yes, no hesitation, I'll marry this person to tomorrow? Like, put it out there. Put it out in the universe. Put it out there. You know, you have to have an idea of what the right person is.
I'm not putting that out there right now. I'm not focused.
No. You don't need to focus on it, but just put it out into the ether that it'll come back. You know, law of attraction or whatever. If you're not focused, if you don't have a clear picture of what you want, then the right person's never going to be there. Like,
I don't need that person right now.
You don't need a person right now, but it'll come in the right time.
I'm not even going that route right now.
This man thinks that this soundboard is possessed by, like it's a Ouija board. Like it's going to bring some woman to him tomorrow.
I'm not even thinking about that.
You can't even tell me what the right picture of a woman is, like as far as attributes and everything. I'm not talking about measurements, bro.
What do you mean? What are you talking about as far as?
Like, you know, like, oh, someone that is into sports, someone that is... you know, that's funny, that doesn't take themselves too seriously, that someone that is, is into charity, things like someone that likes to talk, someone that, you know, doesn't like to talk, probably, in your case. Maybe it's like, I just like somebody shut the fuck up, please.
I mean, listen, first and foremost, like, say, for instance, let's just say
right.
that it was somebody that came into my life tomorrow, right?
Okay.
It's just from law of attraction, as you
right,
say.
Right, right. Law of attraction, put it out there.
They have to be someone who's going to be patient with me. Right?
Okay.
Someone who, a kind heart.
Well, when you mean patient in what degree? Like, as far as what would they need patience with you for?
My time.
So you mean being patient with you not having time for them?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't really have time for someone to give them. So what would be the point of me trying to put that out there?
But I think you would probably want someone that has respect for your time, not patience for your time. So they probably have more respect for your time, and you probably want someone that's as busy in their life as you are in yours.
Well, I mean,
to a degree. That they're not focused on you because they have nothing, they're not really doing much.
So let me just say this. Let me give you an example. Let's say a person is free to, they're free, I'm not as free, right? Okay. If they would have to sacrifice for me, right?
Right.
I would feel pretty guilty about that. Like, I don't mind people sacrificing for me, but I would feel guilty because I'm not always able to sacrifice for them. And I don't like it being one way.
When you say sacrifice for them, you mean what would be sacrifice? You giving a lot of your time to them?
I'm not able to give my time to them.
So what is sacrifice? What is them sacrificing for you? Is that them attending games to see your kids and stuff like that and hanging out with you? I don't think that's sacrifice. I think that's like just part of the package. To me, it's like that's human. That's like you guys hanging out for movie night or something, whatever. To me, that's like
that's normal. That's to you, but keep in mind, How long have you been married?
20 years.
Okay. Last time you've been on a date with someone other than Kate? Okay.
22 years.
So believe me when I tell you this, is like people say that they're good with that and all that, but in actuality they're really not.
Is that the modern women you're dating now? The women that are... So if you meet women that are in your... I would say in your era. People that grew up in the same traditional ways or whatever the case may be. Do you find they're more accepting of that versus the modern woman that's been fed this... Forced this pill that, oh no, he needs to do this. He needs to pay for this. He needs to...
Well, they're like... They're not the modern woman. They're more traditional.
Oh, so they're more traditional. So there's more people that grew up in the genre of you. Like they know, you know, they grew up in with the Cosbys and like that. So they okay.
They understand. They're I guess you want to say normal.
To a degree. Or like, no daddy issues or nothing like that.
Well, when you say daddy issues, I mean that depends on your home bringing.
Right. So, if dad was a part of your life or not, or if dad, you know. Well, people that are just normal. When you say normal, I'm like, are they sane?
Or they got, okay, when you say, but when you, like, when you say...
Do they got a psychiatrist on speed dial? No. Okay.
No. What I'm saying to you is when you're like a single parent, right?
Right.
And the person you deal with, let's just say they're not a single parent, or let's just say they don't have any kids.
Okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
Their dynamic, it's almost like, you know, when I was single and I dated people with kids, gotcha. And whatnot. I was spontaneous, right?
Right.
I was spontaneous, and I had all this free time, and they didn't.
Right.
So even though it's not the same with me being older now, but when you kind of like want to do things right then, and sometimes you can be patient, but sometimes you're not as patient as you could be because you got all this free time.
Gotcha.
And so it kind of puts a strain.
Kind of, but I would say you're in a sweet spot right now because your kids are a little older.
But they have to put their life on hold for me.
But here's the thing. They got to put their life on hold to a degree. I mean, your kids are not like they're sitting there crawling. Your kids are pretty much independent to a degree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're at the sweet spot where they're just transitioning out.
No, they're...
Well, Andrew's getting there. He's what, in eighth grade?
He's in eighth grade.
Okay, yeah. So he's going to be in high school, and that's just 4 years. You know what I mean? So you got 5 years, right? Yeah. And Ray's what, 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, he's a junior, so
yeah. So I'm saying you're in a sweet spot right now. You're trust me, and them things fly. Like high school is it, you already know.
Yeah, yeah.
So Andrew gets in high school, it's over. You know what I mean? It's gonna you're gonna be like, what the hell? We've seen, you know, you're gonna be sitting at the ceremony. But I don't know, man. I think you gotta like know your worth. You know what I mean? I mean, I know you know your worth, but it's like, no, bro. If you want to spend time for someone that's worth it, they're gonna do the same thing for you. Like they're gonna be like there, and it's not, huh?
I know that, but what I'm saying too is, when that person comes along, then I will know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'll know.
Absolutely.
So when I say to you, like, what exactly do I want? And I know it when I meet them, or I know it when the moment comes. I'll know. I don't really have to say she has to be this, that, this, and that. I know.
Okay.
You know from the moment you meet them. I know.
Yeah.
I know based on personality.
Right.
I know based on interest. Like, right. Okay, when you said about, like, yeah, for instance, you interest. Said sports. You said sports, right? Well, they don't have to be in love with sports, but they have to least enjoy sports, you know, or like, right. Or when it comes to like communication, they have to be a communicator.
Okay.
They have to love to talk.
I gotcha.
Because I talk.
Gotcha.
They have to be someone who can, I think I would prefer, they don't have to be a extrovert.
Okay.
You know, they don't have to be that.
Right.
But they have to be able to deal with me being an extrovert.
Okay.
So, because I do talk to people, and I can go, you could drop me in the hood.
Right.
You can drop me in with, I'm going to say high society.
Right, right.
You can put me anywhere. I'm good.
Like, right, right.
I do that. So that's another thing. And they have to love my kids too.
Gotcha.
If they come during my, they have to love my kids.
Well, if they come during or after, they got to love your kids. Right, because even if your kids are all grown up, whatever, they're still going to be kids. Are always going to be part of your life.
Yeah, but if they're out, it'd be different because they're not in there.
Well, they're going to have to love them to a degree.
No, they can.
You know what I mean? They don't have to be. They got to if they love you, they got to love them.
I also they can fake it. People fake it, yo.
Oh, people fake it too. But I mean, if you're talking about the one that you know is the one, I would hope that they love your kids.
That's why I said they're going to have to love. Yeah, love your kids. But I've seen it.
Where they fake it.
People fake it, yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you can always find the real McCoy any time of the day. I mean, you'll know what's authentic, what's not. You know, you pick that shit up. You're like, oh, because the patient goes right at the door. You see the patients go, and you're like, huh? Wait, what? Did you just did your tone change? Did you just snap? You know, so it's like, oh, so you really don't like kids,
right? I'm hoping like. Just the chemistry is always there. Just fun.
So you don't think, I don't mean to cut you off, but you don't think you'd rather be with someone that's, like, remember I was talking about that matches your checks, like checks off with your personality traits. Like, I know you say you're an extrovert and you can deal with introvert, but have you ever been with an extrovert that's like you? Just to see how you guys match up in crowds and be like, because you just imagine you, and her just basically owning a room together and separately.
You know what?
You know what I mean?
I think
because I think you probably have to pull back and be like, oh, I have to go check on my introvert over here that's quiet in the corner.
You know what? I think I did date an extrovert once.
How was that?
It was great.
That's what I'm saying.
It was really good. You know, back then I didn't think about it as like we were both extroverts. I just thought about it as far as just we're just great. We're just great people who can like we can just dangle anywhere. We can just mingle anywhere.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Aim for what you want. That's what when I say like what's the perfect thing. I'm like, because even when you're saying stuff, I'm like, yo, don't settle. I'm like, no, find someone that's on your personality.
But when you say what was I settling about?
When you said they don't have to be an extrovert like you, they can be an introvert. And it's like, I know, but at the end of the day, you kind of always, it's almost like.
You want somebody to mirror me?
Not mirror you, but just almost match you. Yeah, mirror you in a sense, right? Because it'd almost be like this. So I always compare it to like sports. Like when I think about Kobe Bryant, when I think about people that could be on a certain level and they have to sacrifice, like let's say Kobe Bryant was like, hey Vanessa, if he just focused on Vanessa, his ass would have not been Kobe Bryant. He would have had to be home with them kids. But the fact that he was like, yo, I gotta do this to be one of the greatest is what I'm after, and put all that, nobody would be talking about Kobe Bryant right now. But Kobe Bryant did something that people talk about. I think they talk about Kobe Bryant more than they talk about Jordan.
Yeah,
because and his passing has made him even more of a legend because he's left such a book of reference, from people telling stories to him having the videos and him talking and just he's like surpassed Jordan on that level that he's left so much content. for people because of what the area that he grew up in.
I think what it was is that Kobe became more tangible,
right?
Because when he retired, he gave you what made him great, versus Jordan, who didn't. People spoke for him,
right?
And he gave you little bits. But because Kobe was so open and he became more open about it, and he gave you what made Kobe Kobe, it made it, and we had the we also had the
internet social the internet media.
We liked that
right
so we wanted to be great like him. But with Jordan, the difference is that he still like, what did Jordan do now? Like, we still don't know. And we know, but we don't know.
We know, but we also know Jordan did all his moves. But we heard Jordan was just a freak of nature.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, he played, he gambled and didn't need much sleep. Because I'm just like, imagine if Jordan just treated his body the way his body, because he was just, like, what's the word I'm looking for? He was like invincible. They talk about LeBron? No. Michael Jordan was an alien because his body
it was
not,
willpower.
Yeah. His body did not. He didn't take care of his body like that. I mean, he physically took care, but he smoked cigars, he drank. He did not take care of his body like that. He didn't get much sleep.
Right, right.
You know, he was just one of these freak of natures that if he never retired, because every time he retired is when he lost a little bit of whatever.
Right.
Because it sat for years or whatever. But at 40 years old, coming back, 38, 40 years old, coming and dropping 50, dropping whatever on these people with the Wizards, that man's a freak, and and that's when he had the knee issues. Exactly. I mean, come on, man, because he sat in the office for a few years and came back. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say as far as Jordan. He worked hard, yes, but Kobe worked like he had no talent. That's what Kobe said. I worked like I had no talent, and he did. To me, yes, I think Kobe overworked himself. Yeah, he did. That's why his injuries came, because, yeah, you shouldn't be shooting around. You shouldn't be doing basketball moves 2 hours before your game, bro. You shouldn't be playing four games when you got a game, you know what I mean? Like, that's like 4 hours. Like, it's like the equivalent of having two games you played in one night. Because, yeah, I didn't understand that. I'm surprised no one told him, hey, Kobe, you know, you got to rest your shoulder. And he figured out all that stuff later. Because remember, he was like, oh, I used to do 2 a days, 3 a days. I sleep for 2 hours and come in. And he was like, then I realized his game was off. He's like, my game was off. Then they were like, yo, you need sleep. And he was like, yeah, I need to rest.
Yeah.
Because he was killing himself. I mean, he was literally like, he's like, why is my body off? Because he was just doing too much. And yeah, I think he learned that.
It caught up with him.
And once again, thank you guys for listening to our podcast. We appreciate your time. I'm Reg.
I'm Ray.
And we appreciate you guys. So enjoy the Bro-Rans podcast. Also hit us up with any ideas, anything you guys want us to discuss.
Any topics you want us to talk about, just let us know.
Absolutely. And we'll have more guests and more special guests on, and professionals as well. Anyway, you guys enjoy. It was nice. Always a pleasure. And whatever you do this week, do it well. Do it with a partner, not alone. It's never fun to do it alone.
Bro-Rans out.
Peace.